Join Hans and Scotty Friday from noon to 3. Andrew Reinhardt from Wasatch Medical Clinic will be live in studio to discuss an FDA-approved breakthrough and permanent solution for ED with no pills, surgery, or needles. Your reaction to a weekend full of sports, your favorite team. What went right? What went wrong? Jack, Aggie basketball did a lot right in that in-state rivalry game with Weber State. And Aggie football had a decent game. The field goal kicking was spectacular. Go Aggies.
Yeah, it was a nice weekend. I mean, they're ranked, so there should be a Big Sky team. And you should beat them handily, and they did. So nothing wrong with that.
And they won a football game they had to win to keep their division title hopes alive and bowl hopes and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think they'll get the bowl for sure. I think that for them, it's about accumulating as many wins. And after you've won 11, you know, I don't think you want to have less than 8 the following season. You got to keep it going. You got to keep the momentum going, or at least be even. Don't fall behind. And this was a swing game that they needed to have. And they got it right at the end. So, you know, they do have their division hopes still alive. We'll have to see. They're going to need Air Force minimally to lose again, obviously. And so, it's a big game for them and what they're trying to accomplish this season. And they've got some other ones down the line for sure. I don't think Wyoming's going to be a walk in the park. And obviously, Boise State awaits. And who else am I missing?
They got New Mexico at the end,
okay.
Which is why that, I think with that win, a lot of people are thinking, okay, so bowl eligibility is taken care of because they got that game for a 6-win backstop no matter what.
Right, exactly. So, and you know, when you have this level of quarterback, you want to cash in. And they did cash in last year and at least find a way to get to 7-8 wins. And you can call it a success, even if it's a little bit of a disappointment. Success within disappointment, which is okay. That's a good sign to be, to have a team that wins 7 or 8 games and feel like you left something out there. That's a sign of a good program. Just like Utah, if you don't get to this stupid playoff, but you were in it, that's a sign of a good program.
The stupid playoff.
Yeah, it is. It's a dog and pony show. And it's entertainment, man.
People love to hate Alabama, and Alabama, well, anybody's going to make any excuse for Bama. We'll see if the selection committee will make excuses
for them. There's just not enough eyes that care about Utah. You know, they don't have, look at the top 10 rated Pac-12 TV games this year. They're in none of them. Zero.
Will Oregon jump Bama?
You know, we're assuming Oregon is going to beat Utah.
Well, we have to, yes.
I'm not.
Otherwise, okay, assume
who cares?
They did. Well, Oregon.
Well, no, I'm not going
to
assume it. That's
fans.
My whole point.
Like to argue about it.
Argue all you want. Doesn't mean I have to. Fine. You want to argue? Go.
Oregon
have an argument against the wall, because that's what it amounts to.
Oregon could have the problem of losing to Auburn and then Auburn losing to Alabama.
How about beating Utah? They could have a problem beating Utah.
Then does Utah get in?
How about beating Oregon? They could have a problem beating Oregon.
We're not taking them one at a time. We're not even taking them 4 at a time anymore. I guess we are. That's exactly how we're taking them 4 at a time.
I have no idea who's going to win that game. And until you win that game, what are you worried about?
Getting in the playoff.
Why? That doesn't make any sense.
Because that's where we decide who's best.
Yeah, but you haven't beat Oregon first. And then you'll have a claim. Right now, you have zero claim. You have no claim to it. You don't deserve to be in the top 4. You have zero claim. You knew full well you needed to be undefeated, and you're not. So you're going to claim somebody screwed you over when you knew the criteria going in and you didn't meet it? And then it's somebody else's fault?
Yes.
What am I missing here?
Somebody else's fault.
You fans, what I just said, you cannot argue. Argue with me on that. What I just said, you knew full well coming out of the Pac-12, you would have to be undefeated.
We actually talked about that. I actually remember that.
The 5 years ago.
The non-league schedule isn't good enough to win over people who already doubt the program.
And the Pac-12 isn't good enough.
Right.
It's an average league.
If things play out right, the best they'll have is wins over 8-4 teams. We'll see what USC and Washington do down the stretch. ASU down the stretch. Some of them could get to 8-4. All of them could. I guess they don't play each other, do they?
Devils ain't getting 8-4. They're right where they've been for 30 years. They're in November trying to find a way to get bowl eligible. Just like I told you with Herm, he wasn't going to be a disaster, nor was he going to get him to the mountaintop.
And now they've lost three in a row.
Just like I've said, it's played out the same way. You can change it. In a few years, he'll retire, and they'll bring in another dude, and we'll see the same. And occasionally, they'll have an okay season, and then they'll just be who you are. When you have 30, 40 years of evidence, that's pretty powerful.
Terry says, we are starting to see what this Jazz team will be capable of, and it's scary good.
Scary good,
scary
huh?
good.
9 games into the season, it's scary good.
Yeah.
I love fans' passion, man. They're the ones who keep us employed. I could never have that level of a passion. And what I mean by passion is you don't necessarily see things for what they are. You see things for what you want them to be.
You got to have hope. And I think that's what Jazz fan and Ute fan has in common right now. Jazz fan is hoping they win the next four. Obviously,
next four?
From watching college three.
Where'd you come up with that?
The Ute fans. Did I say Jazz? I meant
yeah,
Ute.
Okay.
The Ute fans want to win the next four. You're right. The Jazz fan want to win. You know, they want to win the next 44.
Yeah, okay.
And then win some more after that. But you got to have hope your team's going to get to the mountaintop. It's the essence of being a
fan.
And I
think going 13-1 and winning the Rose Bowl is getting to the mountaintop.
I agree with you, but it feels like we're the old fogies in the crowd. Playoff or bust. I want the playoff. There are plenty of you fans who desperately want
the playoff. I want the playoff too, but you needed to have an undefeated season to get there.
So why
that
want
was the
what
criteria
you can't.
That was set for the conference.
Why want what you can't have? Well, maybe you can have it if there's some losses in front of you and things break your way.
Backdoor it all you want. But let's worry about beating Oregon. Are they good enough to beat Oregon?
Well, the honest answer is nobody really knows that.
That's the biggest concern. The playoff is entirely secondary. On the morning of December 8th or 9th, whatever that is,
yeah, but it was
then you got a complaint.
But it was a bye weekend, and undefeated teams were playing each other, so the mind wanders. If they had a game to break down, maybe they'd be obsessing about the game. But you can't blame Ute fan for obsessing about the playoff, even if it seems like it's
them.
Out of reach.
Digging, obsess about whatever you want. I don't care. Do whatever you want. It's your emotions, and I don't tell anybody how they should have their emotions.
Alex says, best thing I saw this weekend was Jordan Love getting back into a rhythm.
He was sensational.
388 yards, put some touchdown passes right on the money.
He made big-time throws.
Yeah.
Yeah. You couldn't have been more impressed.
And we'll talk with Gary Anderson about this coming up, but resilient. Getting stoned at the 1 yard line with 5 minutes to go, they could have lost the game. But
in which you thought it was the wrong call, and I had zero problem with it.
We'll talk to Gary about that. He's coming up in about 15 minutes.
My wife wound up watching the game, and for whatever reason, she did not know what Gary Anderson looked like. And she says, that's Gary Anderson?
She needs to watch more Aggie football.
She didn't watch any Aggie football.
Clearly.
I said, that's the guy you've known? I said, yeah, that's him. That's I didn't think twice. He's kind of skinny. I said, well, yeah, he's lost. Used to play lineman, but no one's playing lineman anymore. So find yourself a way to get in shape. The thing that I don't like is bandwagoning. And I got to give it to you fans and most of our fans here. There's no bandwagoning. Yesterday, I had to go down south for the weekend, and it was just glorious weather there every day. So yesterday, played some golf before I came north, and there was a starter there, and he had on a cool hat. My wife says, oh, that's a nice hat. Yeah, well, you know, I couldn't wear my Alabama hat today. Oh, you from Alabama? No. I spent some time there in the military, but, you know, I'm also an Oklahoma fan. And a Texas fan. And I said, well, what the hell? Why not Ohio State, buddy? I mean, come on.
Probably likes the Lakers, the Patriots, and the Yankees.
He was a Golden State fan until this year.
Right.
How weak is that?
You're Laker fan for 20 years and then Golden State fan for the last five.
And now right back to the Lakers or the Clippers.
So I appreciate the Ute fans' passion on wanting to get them in the playoff and obsessing, as you say, because you're not a Johnny-come-lately here. I don't think you are. Maybe some of you are. But a lot of you, the ones that I know, have been there for thick and thin. And there's more thick now than thin. And that's great for you. I'm happy for you. And I'm happy for me because it makes this job better. I have a vested interest in your success, believe it or not.
Don't want to believe it. It goes against the narrative.
That's fine. Don't believe it. As long as you have passion, I don't care which way you believe. You can believe that I hate you. You can believe that I love you. You can believe that I love the other guy and hate you. I don't care what you believe. You can believe I'm loud and obnoxious, as someone told you. Last week I was a narcissist. Now I'm loud and obnoxious.
You were,
that's what you told me last night.
Obnoxious and...
You said loud and obnoxious?
No, but it was something else, too.
No, that's what you told me last night.
No.
Yes. That's what you told me. Yes, it was.
Obnoxious and funny. You know, it was a different word than funny, I think.
Amusing?
Yeah, I can't remember now.
I amuse you?
What you about me? You find me amusing? Am I funny?
Everybody
like a
knows
clown?
I'm funny as hell. I mean, you don't have to
tell
me.
It was the paradox.
We all know it.
It was the paradox.
I'm a riot.
He gets mad at you and then he laughs with you. He was disgusted with himself for not being able to pick a side. All right, let's go to the phones. Papa P. Papa P.
How's it going?
Good.
It's going well.
Man?
Where you been, Papa P? Been quiet this football season.
Oh, man. Been working. Well, I've been quiet during the mornings because of my work schedule, so I apologize. Okay. But just to be clear, PK,
yeah,
you are obnoxious, but I love you. So,
and that's so what that's matters okay. the most.
And you are a narcissist, but so am I. So it's okay, too. So, but I did want to call because I agree with you. You fans are all psyched and excited and in a froth about the college football playoffs. Let's be clear. Oregon trashing USC does not help Utah at all.
No.
As far as the playoff committee is concerned.
Right.
Because they lost to USC, whereas Oregon trounced them.
They did.
So they got to worry about winning their next three regular season games. And if they can do that, then they got a shot at Oregon. And then they see if there's luck is in their favor. But don't be talking about CFB. Talking about winning the game in front of you.
Yeah.
Trust me.
They got three.
I know.
Yeah. Three games.
Toledo. South Florida. Come on. So, anyway.
Inexcusable, man. The Cougars should have never have lost those games, man.
They should not have lost those games. And I blame Kalani for that. I blame Kalani because he came out and publicly said, after losing to Washington, I know these guys. I know their heart. I know what they're capable of. We could go 10-2. And the problem was he didn't say, unless we don't pull our heads out of our blanks and play like madmen every game, because BYU can't just show up. And that's what happened to Toledo. I was there, I know. And that's not what happened at Neyland Stadium. BYU didn't just show up. They played their hearts out, and that's why they beat Tennessee, even though Tennessee is down this year.
See, I feel like they showed up for both games. I feel like they didn't finish. At Tennessee, they made huge plays you really couldn't even expect, especially one in particular, at the end of the game.
And the fourth quarters, they
were in position to win after three quarters. They showed up, but the fourth quarter, they just messed it up all sorts of ways at Toledo and South Florida.
I agree, but I don't, because in business – you can have the best idea, the best people, the best product, the best service. If you don't execute, you're done. And they didn't execute. And so, therefore, they didn't finish the game. Because the game is 60 minutes, and they didn't play for 60 full minutes. Therefore, they lost.
I don't have any problem. I have zero problem blaming it on the coach, because then the coach went and we know he made some coaching reassignments and assignments that were new.
He did.
And he should have done that earlier. He should have had the pulse of the team to know. The rise and fall of the team reflects the coach. And that's just the way it is. So I want to give him credit for making the changes and beating Boise and kicking the crap out of Utah State.
Agreed.
And Liberty wasn't a scintillating
Agreed.
Win, but it was still a win. So he gets the credit there. But on the other hand, he takes the blame for not putting his team in the best position to win those two ball games that they should have won. And what are they, 5-4 now? Well, obviously they would be looking at, do the math, what's 7-2, and that would be pretty doggone good.
7-2, they would probably actually be ranked.
And I think they probably would be.
Yeah.
I don't have any problem with them being ranked in that situation.
No, I think that you're absolutely correct. It is on Kalani. I do like the fact that he's taken the responsibility and stepped up, especially with a team that is still let's not forget, this is a very, very young team for BYU, right? And so I'm actually very encouraged. As I said on the air Saturday night, I felt the worst after the game against Liberty that I've ever felt in the victory. And that was the case because I think that they didn't get into the thick skulls of those players. Liberty's actually pretty good. They've got a legit potential NFL player at wide receiver and potentially even a quarterback. And their quarterback was lights out. He was really, really good. So yeah. I wouldn't sleep on Liberty. They're going to be tough in 5 or 6 years. You watch.
Thanks for the call, really, man. Tough. Appreciate it, Papa Pink. Call often. You know, something to be said when you have a senior quarterback who has experience.
That's the goal, is to get there and get some guy to have the big year.
Right.
He's learned and absorbed a ton of football, usually the hard way, hard lessons along the way.
Well, Tyler Huntley is the classic example.
Yeah.
And the Utes are receiving huge dividends for his struggles as a sophomore, the four picks he threw against the Devils, all those types of things. And that's what you want. And then to keep it going, then you go out and get a grad transfer. And away you go. It seems like LSU, Ohio State, all these teams with these grad transfers kind of crack me up as they play the free agent market. They're basically, they're a bunch of Jeff Greens. They're signing one-year deals.
One-year deals and bouncing around.
Yeah. And for Utah, they've done it the right way. They've built it up, and now Tyler is just playing at an extremely high level after taking, some, not entirely lumps. He didn't take all lumps, but he had some lumps, as we just said, and you look at Liberty, and they have a senior quarterback. I don't follow Liberty, but, the kid looked good. The receiver statistically jumps out at you, and then you freeze comes on our air on our show and tells you he's an NFL receiver, and he's coached 7 NFL receivers, so he ought to know. So he knows what he's talking. The guy's got everything you need. It looks like he'll play in the NFL. So the Cougars didn't roll them, but so what? They won the game, and now they got 2 cream puffs coming up to set themselves up for that classic throwback that is Rocky Long in the way that they play. That'll be a great test at the end of the season. Even though the Aztecs lost a close one on Saturday night, I don't care. It's still going to be a great test at the end of the season.
All right, we got to take a break. Gary Anderson's coming up next. We're going to talk to him about the come-from-behind win at Utah State, going for it with 5 minutes left, and then bouncing back to win the game as time ran out. Gary Anderson, what got Jordan Love back in the groove again? We'll talk with Gary next. 97.5 at 1280 The Zone.
And now, attention, top of the wire on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Utah Jazz are back in action tonight. They're in San Francisco to face the Golden State Warriors. Game tips at 8:30 on AT&T Sportsnet. Listen to it on 97.5 The Zone. Over on 1280 The Zone, Monday Night Football. Big game in the NFC. NFC West leader San Francisco, a perfect 8-0, hosting second place Seattle. Seattle 7-2, game and a half back. Game kicks off at 6:15 on ESPN. Listen to it on 1280 The Zone. College basketball tomorrow night. Utah State will be hosting the Denver Pioneers. You'll hear that game here on the Zone Sports Network. Top of the Wire is brought to you by Diamond Airport Parking. Don't take the bus tour at the airport parking lot. Diamond Airport Parking offers covered self-parking, covered valet parking, open valet parking, and free 24/7 car-to-curb shuttle service. Diamond Airport Parking since 1922, just off I-80 and Redwood Road. Park, ride, and save at Diamond Airport Parking.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G.
It's what you want.
From The Athletic, Mike Eugenin.
And I'll be honest, if I'm a Pac-12 coach and Urban Meyer takes that USC job, I'm hoping I'm a Pac-12 coach in the North.
Well, it's good for the,
it's good for the league.
It's good for the conference.
In a weird way, you're right. If USC is your standard bearer, the national perception of the league is much stronger, and that's East Coast bias. I certainly think Oregon and Utah are really good teams, and put them in the SEC or Big Ten or ACC or Big 12. Those teams are going to challenge for the title. I think the perception, though, is when USC's down, the league as a whole is down. So from the national perception standpoint, having USC be really, really good is a great thing for the Pac-12 as a whole.
Catch Hans and Scotty every day from noon to 3. Presented by your Rocky Mountain Chevy dealers on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
tickets. Wednesday every week, you have a chance to win free stuff. And Wednesday, listen for your chance to win tickets to see the Jazz and the Warriors on Friday, November 22nd. Courtesy of your local Ford stores, purchase a Ford Fans on all-you-can-eat ticket to an upcoming game and receive unlimited hot dogs, nachos, popcorn, ice cream, and soda. Visit the Ford Fan Zone on Level 6 for free Ford swag, Jazz tickets, movie passes, and much, much more. Gary Anderson, Aggie coach, is going to join us in just a minute. We got a lot of you tweeting at us, hitting us up on Facebook. What happened to your favorite team this weekend? The best, the worst, you loved it, you hated it. Mr. Conservative, the CC Chargers win again.
Oh, yeah. Some of their coaches were pacing before the game and during the day because the game, you know, Friday afternoon. What were they up, 49-0 at halftime?
Jeez. Really nervous.
I know. I love high school coaches. They take it like it's such a life and death.
Yeah. Got a lot invested.
It's the biggest thing in the world to them.
Alex says the best thing he saw all weekend was Jordan Love. 388 yards and a 37-35 win on the road.
I think for next season, we should give our own Player of the Week awards.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Do it on our show. We won't get anything, but...
A shout-out in public is what they'll get.
Get the local Player of the Week. Because it seems to matter, the conference player of the week. And BYU, they used to do the independent, and you get the email, and it just became a joke. And I don't know if they still do it. But I think starting next week, or maybe starting next week, we'll give our player, let's warm up this season, use this as a trial run. Player of the week. The DJ and PK player of the week.
Sounds like it could be sponsored.
Yeah.
We should get on that.
Right, yeah. We got to get on that before somebody steals it.
I like that. Monday mornings, you guys announce the player of the week.
Yeah. And I think our first one is Jordan Love.
How are we going to do this now? Is this going to be by sport, college, pro?
Football.
What are you thinking?
Football.
It's a football only, college football deal?
Well, if we want to do it in basketball, we can do it in basketball.
I'm just coming up with this idea live on the show. I figure we'd just hash it out right here.
I was thinking football. I'm in a football mode right now. The Utah College Player of the Week, and that can include any college. And a kid from Davis runs for 450 yards at Weber. We put him in there. So we're gonna do that. We'll have 42 media members vote. What do you think?
I like it. Let's get some people to do our work for us.
Yeah,
I'm in favor. Someone called Brad Rock's retired. He can vote. Let's put him on the panel right now. Didn't they use?
He might chair it.
Sweet. It's like the college football playoff game.
Yeah.
Brad lives down in my neck of the woods. I'll go knock on his door.
Stop by. Just knock on his door. Just show up. Don't call ahead. It worked for PK with Norm Chow.
Hey,
they
Brad,
bonded more than ever.
We've got an idea here.
Well, he's still living, but we can call it the Brad Rock Memorial Player of the Week.
So you're going to honor a player while killing Brad prematurely.
No, we're not.
The Brad Rock Memorial Player of
his
the Week.
Strangely, work is over.
Strangely, I'm completely in favor of that.
Not his life.
Let's do it.
His work.
All right, the Brad Rock Memorial Player of the Year Award. If you're one of Brad's neighbors or you got Brad in your cell phone, give him a call and let him know. Actually, I'll call him in the break. I got him in my cell.
And we can have it, and we announce it Monday morning. Unofficially, the first Player of the Week goes to Jordan Love.
It doesn't have to be unofficial. You've just created this out of thin air in a moment of brilliance. So make it official.
Yeah, but I'm doing my only... I just voted myself. I mean, we got to... It's not a theocracy here.
What?
I don't even know what that means. A meritocracy, or these fancy words. I am a narcissist.
Dang it.
Loud and obnoxious. What will I be next week? Hopefully employed.
Give him a day.
That's all that matters.
They'll figure something out.
I'm going with Jordan Love as the player of the week. He was brilliant. That was a fun game to watch. As a fan, I enjoyed that type of football game. To have a bunch of exciting plays.
Up and down the field, mm-hmm. lead changes, big yeah. plays. And then out of nowhere, brilliant defense.
Exactly, yeah.
Which I really wasn't betting on there with 7 minutes to go in the game, and yet both defenses came up big.
Right. I don't necessarily like, 78-72 or something.
You don't want arena football?
I don't want it to be a total joke.
How are you on 46-41?
I didn't watch that game. I didn't see one play of that game.
Oh, really?
The first football game I watched was the Aggie game. And then I had the BYU game on the computer. So going back and forth on that. So I didn't watch any college football until about 5:30. So I didn't see that game going back and forth, but it must have been fun. You're speaking of, obviously, LSU and Alabama.
Looked like LSU might blow them out there for a minute going into halftime. Everything was going their way. They got the lead up to 20, and
don't
Alabama
recite the game for me now.
Reeled them back in.
It's 48 hours. Don't
Doesn't
recite
matter.
The game.
I'm going to do it
don't
anyway.
Don't recite the game for
it's
me.
It's what I do.
We all know what happened.
You're stuck with it. Deal with it.
So, for the Aggies, that was a much-needed effort after disappointing and disheartening, not just disappointing, but disheartening losses. Clearly disheartening losses. And to be able to come back, that showed me something. Showed me a little fortitude. And I like when you're counted out, that you find a way to rally. It's the same thing with BYU. You know, when they lost those two games, they were counted out. And what do? They come back with two nice wins against Boise and Utah State. And with BYU, it's the ultimate interesting phenomenon. When they lose one, we assign them four other losses based on their schedule. We don't do that with anybody, but we do that with the Cougars. And they rallied, and that's fun to see.
Gary Anderson, Utah State football coach, joining us now. We got a gazillion questions, but he's a man with meetings ahead of him, so we got to move right through this. Gary, good morning. Congrats.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Gary, do you ever look at the TV tape later of what you look like during games?
No, what do I look like?
Well, everyone's running off the bench celebrating like crazy, and you did allow yourself a small smile. I couldn't see exactly who it was to, but there's a little smile like, hey, that was pretty cool. But that was it. But there's no arms raised because the field goal is good or nothing. Just reminded me, we've had a million coaches say the losses hurt more than the wins feel good. And that's a win that could have felt really good. And you had a small smile.
Oh, it felt really good. Trust me. That was the smiles that came across. You know, to be honest with you, I was just sitting there soaking it up for the moment with those kids because, number one, I'm a little too old to take those shots that are given out there on the field very much anymore. So I have to be a little careful with that, which is a priority. But I enjoyed every single second of it, and that whatever smile was there, trust me, that was a great big smile because it was very rewarding to see these kids fight the way they fought in that game. That it meant a ton to me to be able to see, for the kids, and quite frankly, for Aggie Nation to be able to win that game when you know there's a lot of things stacked against them on that football game, and you know they found a way. So the jumping around or whatever it may have been, and trust me, I have no problem with that, and I love it, and I've done that in my career many, many times, but I haven't had many wins that have been much more rewarding than that for a group of kids in that setting, in that scenario, and what they've gone through to get that victory was awesome.
Yeah, really fun game from my perspective, sitting on the couch. I mean, I don't have the pressure of winning and losing, but just as a fan watching college football, invested in guys that I know and want to see succeed, it was fun to watch, so a lot of up and down. Take us through that situation when you go for it there at the the next to last possession, I think it was, because in my mind, you know, you're down by one, a field goal only puts you up by two, and Utah or Fresno State, you hadn't had success stopping them, so I supported the decision because I thought you needed to get more than a field goal lead, and you go for it, you don't get it. I thought it was the right decision. My partner thought you had your head right up your you-know-what. I thought it was an awful decision, but what was your line of thinking? Am I correct in thinking that, well, we need more than a two-point lead?
Yeah, it was that. Did we absolutely have to have it? No, but if you were playing percentages in that situation, it was, hey, we got a half inch to go here, or whatever it was, 6 inches. We went earlier on the fourth down, and we were able to get the touchdown earlier in the game, which was awesome to see. And felt like, hey, let's go get this thing right now. And and then if we'd have got that touchdown in that situation, then we would have gone for two also. But we didn't get that. We didn't get in that situation. So we had actually talked about it, communicated about it prior to. It was a thought process both ways. We figured it at that point that we'd go for it and see exactly what happened. And you know, and then the time on the clock was, hey, if we do get stopped, hopefully we can get a stop and get the ball back, whatever it may be, because their mindset is going to be different, right? If we score a touchdown, their mindset is wide open offense. We're going to go attack. We're going to go be who we're going to be and what they'd been all game long, and we had a hard time stopping them, bottom line, and did not play good defense throughout the football game. In fact, played poor defense. And now they don't get it. Well, their mindset definitely changes. Obviously, they're going to run the ball, try to eat up the clock and get it out. So we're better percentages trying to stop the run in that situation and let them just have their wide-open offense. So a lot of thought went into it. Could go either way. You know, you make those decisions, and it's either going to be good or it's going to be bad, and there's no in-between. It's kind of win or lose, and unfortunately worked out.
You know, there are a lot of ex-coaches and ex-quarterbacks on TV who will say in the goal line, running out of the shotgun is hard because you don't really get the momentum the same way you get when your quarterback's under center and the running back's just firing off. Any second thoughts on that? Any thought about tweaking that going forward?
Yeah, there needs to be. We're not good in short yardage situations. So we were better in the red zone this game, which quite frankly gave us a chance to have an opportunity to win. So that was great to see. But then the similar short yardage situations where we're at, you have to have some, you know, you got to have some other things to give the kids an opportunity to be able to succeed. Especially when we load up the box and just say, okay, this is a zero pressure, and we're going to smack everybody in the A gaps and the B gaps, and you know, it'll be an adjustment. I think the offense the last 2 weeks and the offense. The staff and the players have done a very nice job of at least addressing some of the scenarios and the issues that we've had, and we've had some success, which is great to see. And that is now that's an area that we need to look at, and we need to dissect and make sure again we are doing all we can to help the kids be able to execute in critical moments and critical situations. And that's that'll be looked at and dissected this week. And but. That's a long answer, but that is the fact. It does need to be better, and I think we will be better at that as we move forward, and I know that we have to have some other options.
Don't know that I've ever seen Jordan Love play better. What was the difference?
Well, I think, you know, he was comfortable. He was extremely focused. I think he's got now the opportunity to get the ball out to his playmakers. You know, COC had 11 catches, and you know he's able to spread the ball around as needed. But he seems to be pretty settled in on who he's going after. You know, I'm not sitting there calling the plays on offense. Mike's obviously doing that, and the staff is coaching him up on the way to go. So I don't know exactly why, what the whole difference is, but I agree with you. He has more composure. He seems to get himself where he needs to be. I think he understands there's a time limit on holding on to the football, and he needs to get that ball out of there quickly in a timely manner, and I think he's practicing like that. He's not sitting there holding the ball in practice, and he knows it's, you know, 2.5 seconds, we got to get this thing out of here, and he's trusting his playmakers to make plays. So it was fun to see, and it's just fun to see him have success, especially going back home. He's got 50, 60 people in the stands. He plays an outstanding football game, and Jordan Love and his offense is the reason we had a chance to win that game. Without them, we have no chance. So it was kind of flip-flopped on us in those first three conference games that we had as we went through. We the defense and the special teams absolutely 100% carried us and got us where we needed to be, and now it's completely flip-flopped. Now it's the little special teams again, which was great, and it was obviously the offense. So at some point, we've to get where we want to get and have an opportunity to get another victory and then keep going to the next one and the next one. We have to be able to put down a solid performance in a conference game on all three phases, and we have yet to do that this season.
Wyoming looks pretty good at 6-3, just lost in overtime at Boise State. They do seem a little snake bit on the road. They've lost three straight road games. Do you see any difference in them, home and away, and how they play?
No, not really. I mean, that's not noticeable on game tape that I see. I know this is a really good defense. Numbers would show it. Their film would show it. The way they move around and do themselves, carry themselves, would show it. Their identity is we're going to cause you some serious problems, and that'll be something that I'm looking forward to see the offense match up against, and that's going to be a big part of the football game. And we need to have drastic improvement on the offensive side of the ball. This is a good team, physical, tough. You know, they built themselves over the last 3 or 4 years to be that, and you know, they've done a nice job. They're not the biggest team in the world on defense. fast, but they don't want to be. They want to be fast and cause you a lot of issues, a lot of blitzes. I watch him, and it just kind of reminds me of the 08 defense when we had Greg Newman playing inside on the defensive line, and they have much trust in that the pressure is going to get there with their down four rushers. And, you know, those kids that were there, and obviously you had Koa and you had Kruger, and some great players. But at that point, we were just saying, hey, let's dial some things up here, man, and let the corners cover and do some things in the back end and let the special players play. And that's really how they're playing. They got some swag on defense, and so you have to answer that, you know, with some playmakers on offense. And the teams that have done that have had some success. The teams that haven't have really struggled to score points. So this will be a key matchup, and that's what you're looking for. It's the middle of November. Big-time games in the month of November, that's what we've talked about. We've put ourselves in that position in the conference, so that's what we talk about in August, and we're there now. So now we'll see exactly how it plays out. Excuse me.
Gary, we appreciate a few minutes. We'd mess around more if you had time, but you're a busy man.
Yeah, I got a little work to do, guys, but hey, I appreciate you.
All right, see ya.
Okay, bye. Take care.
Gary Anderson, head coach of the Aggies, after the big win at Fresno. And the Wyoming team, and he talks about their defense. If you beat them, Boise State got them 20-17 in overtime, and San Diego State threw a touchdown pass on a crazy play with a quarterback running around with 2 minutes left. That was 26-22, and they lost to Tulsa 24-21.
They're a good football team, yeah.
You kind of get the style of game you have to play to beat them.
Exactly.
Something in the low to mid-20s. And that's why Gary talks about tightening up the act on defense from Fresno, because if you let them get to 30, they're almost certainly going to beat you.
I don't know that they can, but yeah, I'd agree with that. I'm looking forward to this game. This is some good competition. To me, I always have a soft spot for Wyoming, having been there many times over the years. I like to see them when they do well because I think their fans deserve it. There's not many of them, but they're so passionate. And I think it's fun when you play Wyoming because you've been playing Wyoming, and maybe not Utah State, but it's one of these brand names that we know about here locally. And it should be a good game. 2 o'clock, you don't have to wait until 8:30, 7:30 at night, and that's a lot of fun to be able to play in daylight, at least at the start of the game. So I'm looking forward to watching that game before I head up to the stadium in Salt Lake to watch the Utes kick the crap out of the Bruins.
That game's at 6. The Aggie game is at 2 o'clock. It's on ESPNU at 2 o'clock, and Scotty G will have the call here. All right, we got This Guy Sucks. People and teams who suck this weekend. There's a long list of nominees. We can get to them next. DJ and PK, it's 97.5 and 1280 The Zone.
Take The Zone with you wherever you go.
Let's go.
Download the all-new Zone Sports Network app on your phone and get live streaming of The Zone as well as podcast editions of every show. From Salt Lake to Shanghai, Provo to Portugal, or Ogden to Oslo, wherever you go, we'll tag along.
Let's go.
Download the new Zone app by searching Zone Sports Network wherever you shop for apps. It's the Zone Sports Network app from 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. And now,
really?
Your Rocky Mountain Chevy dealer's strong play of the weekend.
Brooke Lopez and Robin Lopez in. Brooke Lopez will guard the inbounder. Bogdanovich is being guarded by Middleton. Conley's on the near side. He runs toward the ball. And Bogdanovich pops to the corner. He's open for three. Got it! Boyan Bogdanovich! Jazz win!
Usually, Yach asks us our opinion on what should be the play of the game. Coming back after a long weekend.
That one was an easy one, though.
Unilaterally. You made your own decision there. It's a wise one, Yach.
I think you would have said the exact same thing.
No Bogdanovich's shot today at 4:50 on the Big Show, and you can win fabulous prizes.
As the great philosopher Snoop Dogg once said,
"This guy sucks.
Like a sucker punch."
It's time to reward the losers in sports with another edition of This Guy Sucks.
You suck.
On 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
All right, who really sucked this weekend? There's nominees everywhere, PK. This seemed like a worse weekend than usual. We got three division leaders and a bunch of NFL contenders laying eggs. The Saints with their worst offensive performance at home since 2005. The Chiefs special teams completely mucking up the last 2 minutes of a totally winnable game. Go closer to home, a 94-point college basketball blowout. Should the Utes have even scheduled that thing? I had a guy on who does this for a living, KenPom.com, Ken Pomeroy. A year ago, he was talking about how even playing Mississippi Valley State wrecks your chances no matter what you do. We ought to have him back on and ask him, because maybe he didn't consider 94-point wins. That just playing them makes it harder to get an at-large berth in the NCAA tournament. There's no reward for it.
No.
That game sucked.
It did, yeah. It did. Just such a big waste of time. What's the point?
And other teams that won and sucked. In terms of the playoff, Oklahoma up by 21 at home on Iowa State. And they won the game, but no style points for 42-41 when you get outscored 20-0 at home and you have to stop a two-point conversion. They won. And yet, in terms of getting them into the playoff, that game sucked for them.
I don't know. Clemson just stopped a two-point conversion against North Carolina. Did that... Not going to get him in the playoff.
I think it's the difference between being undefeated, you don't have to explain anything. Once you have a loss, then you have to start explaining stuff.
You do?
Yeah. Well, unless you're Alabama, the rankings suck. Bama loses at home and only drops one spot in the media poll. Not that that matters. The playoff committee matters much more, but wonder if they're going to take the same tact. Always make an excuse for Bama.
Losing at home like that in a close game... That should eliminate you completely? As long as there's a standard out there, I don't have any problem.
Well, the standard is the SEC gets the benefit of the doubt. Bama's gotten the benefit of the doubt before.
So we know they're going to get
it. Florida's gotten the benefit
of the
doubt.
I mean, we're obsessing 3 weeks before. That makes no sense.
No, we don't know. They could lose to Auburn.
Then how do they get the benefit of the doubt?
Lose the rivalry game. You get two losses.
You're
out.
They're out. We know that. But you're saying they're going to get in even though they lost?
I don't know that for sure. I think there's a good chance they'll get in, but they could get passed over. Maybe Oklahoma looks great down the stretch and jumps them. Maybe the Oregon-Utah winner jumps them. So but I think there's the feeling right now that that's not going to happen. There's three SEC teams in the top five. It seems like everything's poised to make sure they get two SEC teams in.
Play tougher teams then, man. Yeah. Have your conference be better.
All right, there's a lot of potential winners there. Who would you like to add to the list? I'm sure that's not a complete list.
Well, the Pac-12 refs screwing up something in Washington State and
penalizing the wrong team.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that, man.
It was on a kickoff, no less.
Particularly when you have the rep. You know, you have a big-time rep.
So you'd be focused on crossing the T's, dotting the I's, yeah. Getting it right.
It just repeatedly looks bad. And that's not a subjective call. You know what I mean? I didn't watch the Arizona State SC game, but their defensive coordinator Gonzalez said that they had a pick six, which would have given them the go ahead score, and they took it away from him on what he thought was a bad call. All right, that I can
when
sort
is
of
pass
live
interference,
with that.
Pass interference. Yeah. When is a hold?
Those things, I haven't seen the play,
right?
Because I didn't watch 1 second.
But
of the
that
game.
Stuff's subjective, as opposed to you literally penalize the wrong team,
right? That so you're going to get possibly that other stuff wrong, but then don't get this wrong after you've already had so many issues. Crazy.
Yuck, you got anybody you want to throw on the list?
I was going to throw the Pac-12 referee and just that situation in there if you guys didn't. So,
when in doubt, beat up on the Pac-12 referees.
Well,
it's the hardest one to explain.
PK's point is correct. So there was two guys wearing number 15 on that play, but it's obviously on one team. Make sure you get the right team at minimum. We see them screw up numbers of players every so often, but you got to get the right team.
All right, DJ and PK, it's 97.5 and 1280 The Zone, 855-340-ZONE. Your reaction to a huge weekend of sports, the winners, the losers, the frustrations, the over-the-top joy, people screaming. Yuck, got some over-the-top joy in there? We'll play that next. DJ and PK, it's 97.5 and 1280 The Zone.